Julie has been a co-introducer, I guess is maybe how you might say it, legislation to ban congressional stock trading. Julie, tell us about this.
Well, thank you, Steve. You know, this is one of the issues that I hear from constituents fairly regularly asking about this, because there's been so many high profile cases of members who have made a lot of money once they became members of the House, Nancy Pelosi being kind of the poster child for that. And so I think this is very common sense legislation. It basically just says that any member of Congress can't trade stocks. You can, if you are become a member and you have stocks in your portfolio, individual stocks, you can keep them. If you sell them, you have to give a 7-day notice. And so it really just kind of creates transparency. And it also will create some penalties for folks who break it. And the overall goal is to restore public trust and help people have confidence that when you're being elected to Congress, you're not going there to get rich, you're going there to serve the public. And anything we can do to help reinforce that in the minds of our constituents and our voters really will help to build back the public trust that we desperately need to have for our elected leaders.
Well, there's no doubt we've heard these stories, and I don't know what's true, right? You hear so many things, but you hear that Nancy Pelosi is worth $100 million, or, you know, different politicians have gotten to be, you know, rich people by serving the country. And I'm one of those people that says, hey, look, if you you take your personal brand to Washington, D.C., and you get known to people, and they want to have you come and speak, and you get to make, you know, $50,000 for a speech, I don't have a problem with that. But when it look, I mean, these things just look fishy, Julie, when you've got people right. that are coming, they're going in poor people and coming out rich people. It just doesn't seem right.
It doesn't wash with the public. And, you know, that example of your speaker's fee, that's actually something we're prohibited from doing. We can't get paid to speak anywhere. And nor should we be able to. I mean, I'm here representing North Dakota, and that is not a role that should earn me extra money outside on speaking circuit. Now, when I leave and go and create my own career after the fact, then, you know, that's a totally different story. But while you're in office, you can't command speaker's fees like that.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me, too. I'm just trying to say, like, there's certain things that if your star rises and you're able to, you know, make something of that as time goes on in some way that's more incidental, that's fine. But when you're talking about trading stocks, because you know what issues are on the table and what Congress is going to be, you know, voting on. That one to me is just, it's a little too sneaky. I want to ask you about the president has come out with an idea, and the president will do this from time to time. He'll kind of float something out there, and it doesn't always happen. But his comment about, you know, we should limit banks to being able to only charge 10% interest on credit cards. I looked at that one. I said, I don't like the government getting involved in private sector business anyway, and I think it would actually hurt a lot of people that the idea is purported to help. And I know there's been some legislation that has gone through Congress, I think in the Senate especially. Has legislation on capping credit card rates come up, and how do you feel about that idea altogether?
Well, it is an issue that the Finance Committee is looking at. I'm not on the Finance Committee, but I'm really good friends with French Hill, who chairs the Finance Committee, and I have a lot of respect for him and his opinions of these, so he's very thoughtful. And it really comes down to a couple things. It's a balance. You know, when you start restricting what interest folks can charge on credit cards and other lending devices, then you're going to impact the type of people who can get the loans and can get access to credit. And so it's a balancing act there. We want to make sure folks aren't, you know, being aggressive lenders and that sort of thing. But I think there's a few different bills coming through the committee. They also have impacts on our banks in North Dakota. I've heard from our small independent community banks.
your colleague in the Senate, Kevin Cramer, has said, look, I'm no fan of Jerome Powell, but I don't think he's a criminal, and hopefully this criminal investigation can be put to rest quickly. We need to restore confidence in the Fed. How do you see this story?
Well, to be perfectly honest, Steve, it's not something I'm really following or engaging in a whole lot. There's so many things happening right now and so many balls in the air that I'm working on that this one, I agree with Kevin. I think, like, let's put this to bed. There's been a lot of talk about Jerome Powell. And there's a process in place for him, you know, being renewed or not renewed and replaced. And let's just follow that, move on.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one. I know that for the president, this almost feels personal because part of his agenda is to get Americans buying and getting the economy moving again. And so it's been a frustration for him as well. I don't have a strong opinion on this one as well. I would agree that Powell has not been effective in his position. When it comes to renovations of a building, it takes a lot to prove there's criminal conduct going on there. We'll wait to see how that all plays out. Speaking of President Trump, he has mobilized many representatives, enforcement agents, whatever you want to call it, an ICE community to be in Minnesota. Do you stand behind the president's approach in Minnesota with the increased ICE enforcement that's going on in Minneapolis and now spreading around the state?
Well, Steve, first of all, I want to just start by saying I think it's tragic how those events unfolded. And anytime somebody's life is lost unnecessarily, I think that's tragic. That Ms. Good should not have been obstructing law enforcement. I've watched, you know, many of the different videos from a variety of different angles, including one that goes back, you know, because I was, when I first saw it, just, you know, obviously very alarmed, and then looked for, like, but there's no context here. What was going on before all of this happened? We saw 15 seconds. And so I've seen, you know, some of the video that shows her laying on the horn for, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds at a time. And I just think, like, gosh, standing out there trying to do your job, how agitated that would make you.